Good evening, everybody. I want to dedicate tonight's shir l'zuchus refuah shleima for Shlomo Zalman ben Restia, shav refuah shleima b'soch shar cholei Yisrael. So tonight, what we're going to discuss is, as always, two shilas, except this is going to be a little bit different. Over here, the two shilas are shnayim shehein echad. They are one story that two shilas emerged from the same story. Last week, I started getting a series of emails from a rav in a different city, and I'll read you the emails, and we'll see how it develops throughout the day. It was last Thursday, and it turned into two very distinct shilas. So it started as follows. The rabbi wrote, "I'm dealing with a shaila now that you may appreciate, and I could use an answer. I have a member of my shul who recently discovered that his mother, who was adopted, probably never had a conversion. Meaning, let's think this through, if his mother was adopted and never had a conversion, that means he's not Jewish. So he's been Jewish his whole life, as far as he knew. He has three married older children. He's been married for 30 years, and now he discovers that it's very likely that he's not Jewish. He recently had a conversion, and so they got him a gerus right away, and we are planning for a wedding on Monday. This fellow's father was a Levi, and he therefore always considered himself a Levi. Of course, that is no longer the case for him, nor for his two sons, meaning he's now a ger. His children are Jewish, because they have a Jewish mother, but they're certainly not Levium. So the rabbi says, it dawned on me last night that his oldest child is a boy. And due to the fact that he always thought he was a Levi, the oldest child never had a pidyon haben. And now it turns out that the oldest child is a petarechem, his father's not a Levi, and therefore he does require a pidyon haben. And the halacha is, when the child's over bar mitzvah, he's chayav lifto ses atzmo. You don't do a pidyon haben, the father can't do it, he has to be poda himself. So the shaila was, the original shaila, is it permitted to do the pidyon on Monday before the wedding as part of the chasen's tish, or would that be a violation of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha? If it is a problem, if there is food out at the Chasen's Tish, could that qualify as a separate Su'udah for the Pidyon HaBen, with the meal following the Chuppah counting as a Su'udah for the wedding? Sounds like they're making a big blowout wedding. That's just pretty amazing for a couple that's been married for 30 years. I'll just add that while this man is Frum, and now also a Ger Tzedek, the Bechor is not. And doing it in the context of the wedding may be the best shot I have to accomplish the Pidyon HaBen with the boy involved. And then he writes a little bit later, after speaking to the fellow, a follow-up email, after speaking to the fellow, things got a little more complicated. As it turns out, there was a miscarriage before this 27-year-old son was born. He thinks the miscarriage was around 12 weeks, which probably translates to 10 weeks la'alacha since conception. But he's hesitant to ask his wife for details because his wife is conservative, actually defines herself as halachic egalitarian, and he thinks that this is too much for her to handle right now. Going through with an Orthodox wedding is causing enough tzaros. So that is shaila number one. Shaila number one is, A, is really two parts. Does he need a pidyon haben, considering that there was a miscarriage 10 weeks into pregnancy previously? And the second half of shaila number one is, if there is a requirement for a pidyon haben, can you do it at the wedding? Because there's a very little chance that the child will agree to be poda es atzmo in any other context than when you already have him there, you sort of have him hostage already at the wedding. So that was shaila number one. Again, two parts of shaila number one. And then he writes as follows. A little bit later that evening, I got the following follow-up email. There is a further issue that just came up that perhaps dwarfs the rest. Rav Shechter was willing to be makel not to require havchana in this case, meaning not to require 3 months of separation between husband and wife to be mavchin between zera of kedusha and zera of not kedusha. So instead of requiring a pregnancy test, I figured we could rely on the fact that she is postmenopausal and actively using birth control. So the rabbi called the man to confirm that his wife is in fact postmenopausal and actively using birth control. The guy confirmed that his wife has an IUD and then threw in for good measure, and if she's pregnant, we have bigger issues because I had a vasectomy. So first of all, it just strikes me that a postmenopausal woman with an IUD and a vasectomy, that's like, you had COVID, double vaccine, three masks outdoors, right? Meaning, like how many safeguards does a person need in such a case? But anyway, so the rabbi writes, I chuckled, hung up, and then almost threw up, meaning he was very stressed about the shaila. The person has been frum for 11 years. He's a great guy. And that's why I was able to convince the Beis Din to do a quick gerus, despite the fact that his wife isn't Orthodox. However, separating from his wife is not a thing that is going to happen. But I'm supposed to be Masar Kiddushin at the wedding. Meaning, what's the shaila over here? If he's had a vasectomy, it means he has the halachic status of a Petzua Daka. And there's a pasuk in the Torah that a Petzua Daka is not allowed to be a lover b'kal Hashem. A Petzua Daka is not allowed to marry a regular native Jewish woman. Petzua Daka is only allowed to marry a Gioras. His wife is not a Gioras. His wife is a regular Jewess. Now, they've been married for 30 years. They have three children. He's not leaving her. That's not going to happen, no matter what the rabbi says at this point. Even though the guy's a good guy, he's not gonna leave his wife. But the problem is, can the rabbi be a Masar Kiddushin at such a wedding? Is there any heter for him to marry or stay married to this woman? He said, I'd rather not go into any details about this with him. He's been through so much the last few weeks. I know that, generally speaking, mutav shiushogin valyu mezidin doesn't apply to dinim da'oraisa, but maybe this is an exception, as this halacha is not really so well known. The rule is that mutav shiushogin valyu mezidin, that you don't have to correct somebody's behavior, applies. It does apply to dinim daraisa, but not to that which is mefurish b'kra. And the reason it doesn't apply to that which is mefurish b'kra is we assume everybody knows that which is mefurish b'kra. So he's not really a shogig; he's really amazed about that which is mefurish b'kra. So what the rabbi is suggesting is that maybe it's not really so mefurish b'kra, even though it is mefurish b'kra that Petzua Daka is not allowed to be lover b'kal Hashem. But maybe nobody really knows that. Meaning there are a lot of very frum Jews that aren't aware of that halacha. So maybe you could assume that he will still be a shogeg, and considering that he's not going to listen, so mutav shiushogin valyu mezidin. So these are our two shailas. So shaila number one, about the pidyon haben, does he need the pidyon haben, and can you do it at the wedding? And shaila number two, can we let this guy get married, meaning remarry his wife? Can you be a masader kiddushin, knowing that the other option is he's going to stay married anyway? So we'll take a vote on which shaila you want to discuss first. We'll try to discuss both of them if we can, but we'll see which one people want to discuss first. one, but I'd sit for an hour to hear the whole story. Okay. Oh wow, so this is like a close vote this week. Five. No, it looks like two is winning, right? Or both. What a mess. I agree with that comment. Okay, one. One is, oh boy. All right, it looks like it's close to a tie. We'll start with one and then try to move on to two. There's a lot here. It would take more than an hour to go through everything that there is over here. There's a lot here. And obviously, this Rav was not asking, he wasn't asking me because he needed my psak. He was just trying to think through the issues before he asks a shayla to the Gedolei Torah. And he did speak to Gedolei Torah about this. He spoke to Rav Shachter about this. He spoke to Rav Asher Weiss about this. He spoke to Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky about this. He spoke to a number of Gedolei Torah about it. He just wanted to talk through the issues to see if there was anything he was missing in assessing the situation. So we'll try to quickly go through Shaila 1, Shaila 2, and then what the poskim actually said about this case. So Shaila number 1 let's start Shaila number 1 backwards. We'll start from assuming there is a chiyuv of pidyon haben, can you do it at the chasen's tish? Can you do the pidyon haben at the chasen's tish? So there is a sugi masechta moed katan daf ches that tells us, the Mishnah says, that ain't nosin nashim b'moed, you're not allowed to get married on chala moed, because mipnei shesimcha hilo. So the Gemara says, v'chi simcha hilo my havi. Who cares that it's a simcha? I would think a simcha is a great thing to do on chala moed. Why would a simcha be a problem? So the Gemara answers, ain't ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. That you're not allowed to mix into simchas, so you're not allowed to have a simchas nisuin on chala moed. And the Gemara says four other answers. Mipnei shemaniach simchas haregel va'osek b'simchas ishto. You're going to abandon the simchas yom tov. Or a pasuk v'samachta b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtucha. Now these other answers may not be other answers. They may be an elaboration on ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. Or the Gemara says mipnei hatoreach. It's going to be such a tircha to prepare a sudas nisuin, and you're not allowed to do excessive tircha on chalamoid. Or bitul periv erivya. If a person knows that he's going to prepare nice meals for yantiv, So he may think to himself, why should I get married 3 weeks before Yontif? I might as well wait till Yontif, when I'll prepare nice meals anyway, and that way it will save me some money. So for those 3 weeks, he's going to be mevatel the mitzvah of Puruvu. So that's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara in Daf Tes asks, Udein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha minolan. What's the source of Ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha? And it quotes a pasuk in Malachim Aleph relating to the Chanukah space Hamikdash in the times of Shlomo HaMelech. Tosfos writes that the drasha of Asamachta b'chagech v'lo b'ishtecha is a drasha gemura, it's not an asamachta, and they prove this because the Gemara in Chagiga says, v'ravashi hay b'chagecha may darish be, meaning that if you don't hold of that drasha, you need to have something else to darshin from that pasuk. Sounds like it's a real drasha da'oraisa. Now it's interesting, the Yerushalmi has an entirely different derivation of where we learn Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. The Yerushalmi quotes a pasuk by Yaakov Avinu and Lavan, Malei Shavua Zoh, that he's going to marry Rachel after the Sheva Brachos with Leah. Why not marry Rachel and have the Sheva Brachos at the same time? Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. You can't mix the two of them. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva in Ebenezer Chelek Beis in Kuf Chav Hei, where he says that the reason the Bavli doesn't learn from that pasuk, it's in the Torah, it's much better than a pasuk in Malachim, is because it's Kodem Matan Torah, and you can't learn from Kodem Matan Torah. Now, what's the problem of being ma'ariv, of mixing two smachos together? So Tosus compares it to Enos and Mitzvos, Chavilos, Chavilos. Tosus says, you need to focus on Simchas HaRegel. If you have another Simcha, it's going to divert your attention. It's not going to be proper kavod to the Simchas HaRegel. Nemuka Yosef says, and it also won't be proper kavod to the Simchas HaNisuin, meaning it's going to take away from both smachos when you mix them together. The Rambam writes, we won't have to get into the Rambam right now. Now, what about a Pidyon HaBen? Meaning the case of the Mishnah is you're not allowed to get married on Regel. So what if the two smachos are not married and Regel? So then what would we say? So when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, meaning over here it's an issue of Pidyon HaBen and getting married, right? It's not Pidyon HaBen, it's not married and Regel, it's married and Pidyon HaBen. So, and it's not the same person doing the two of them, it's just using the same su'uda for both of them. So Tosus goes on, writes that even though you can't get married on Yom Tov, you are allowed to make a bris on Yom Tov. Whoa, why are you allowed to make a bris on Yom Tov? Isn't that a simcha also? He says, Deleka simcha, k'damrin parakam d'ksubas, d'lo mevarchin sh'asimcha b'mono, mishum d'slay tzara liyanuka. You know who really doesn't enjoy the bris so much? The baby. The baby doesn't have such a great time at the bris. And that's why we don't make sh'asimcha b'mono, because the baby's in pain. I once asked Rav Shechter about doing topical anesthesia for a baby at a bris milah, and he said, some of the poskim don't like it, because the Gemara says that there's supposed to be some pain at the bris. There's tzara liyanuka. So Rav Shechter didn't think that was a compelling reason not to give a topical anesthetic, because he said tzara liyanuka is something that it may be part of the bris, but it's not necessarily from the pain of the incision. It's just that they're muttering the baby and they're bothering the baby and they're bandaging the baby. The baby's going to cry no matter what. So it's going to be some tzara liyanuka anyhow. So also, it could be that it's not a requirement of tzara liyanuka. It's an observation that there is tzara liyanuka. But bottom line is, because there's tzara liyanuka, it's not really such a simcha. Bris milah is not such a simcha. And therefore, it says Tosas, you could do bris milah on moed. And then Tosas says, more importantly for our topic, kivan shezmanu kavua in levatel zemet preze. There's another reason why you're allowed to do a bris on Yom Tov. Which one are you going to push off? You're going to push off Yantif? You can't. Yantif doesn't get pushed off. You're going to push off a bris? You can't push off a bris. The bris is chal, they have a zman to do the bris. You're not allowed to push off the bris. So you're going to choose which one to, you're going to choose not to do a mitzvah that zman came, whose zman came right now? Ein marvin simcha b'simcha is something that you can control the timing of. You can choose when to get married. You can get married a week before Yantif. You can get married later. Right? You can choose when to get married. So I remember when a Talmud of mine was getting married on Chanukah, so I asked Rav Shechter about Ner Chanukah and getting married on Chanukah, and where should everyone that's going to the wedding light, and where should the Chasan and Kala light Ner Chanukah, because they're going to be in a hotel that night, so they're no longer living at their parents' house, they can't be Yotze with that Adlaka, they haven't yet moved into their apartment, they can't be Yotze with that Adlaka, so what should they do? So he said they should get married before Chanukah, and he Davka said before, he didn't say after, because that's what the Gemara says, right? Bittul Piri Verivya, you should get married earlier, don't get married later. A lot of times when you speak to Gedolei Torah, just things that sound like funny comments are really mefurisha gemaras, meaning they're saying something that's based on an explicit gemara. So Rav Shach said, let them get married before Hanukkah. But bottom line is that you can control when you get married. You cannot control when the baby's bris is supposed to be a mila bezmana, because the baby's born when the baby's born, and you cannot control when Yom Tov is going to be. And what about Pidyon HaBen? So Tosos goes on to say that you're even allowed to do a Pidyon HaBen on time on Yom Tov for the same reason, because Manu Kavua comes 30 days, you got to do a Pidyon HaBen. Question is, what about a Pidyon HaBen that's not on time? I mean, this person that we're talking about, it's 27 years after he's born. So it's not a Pidyon HaBen on time. So maybe there you have a little more leeway. So that's what the Tosos goes on to say. That the Kaimel and Kravashi, the Darsh Bechagiga Perakama, Bechagach Velo Bishtcha, Enu Asulayr Simcha Besimcha, maybe we don't paskinein Marvin Simcha Besimcha. Says Tosus, the reason we allow Pidyon HaBen is maybe we reject the entire concept of Ein Marvin Simcha Besimcha, and we hold the reason you can't get married on Yantiv is because Vesamachta Bechagach Velo Bishtcha. Alternatively, Tosso says, maybe it only applies to weddings which are Simcha Gedola. So when you have Pidyon HaBen and Moed, neither is a Simcha Gedola, neither is a wedding, and therefore you're allowed to have them together. L'may nafkamina between these two explanations. I mean, what Tosso is bothered by is, why are we allowing a Pidyon HaBen Shelo Bizmana to happen on Yom Tov? So answer number one is, we reject the entire notion of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Answer number two is, no, we accept Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, but one of those smachos has to be a wedding in order to have a problem with Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. So nafkamina between them is our case. Can you do a Pidyon HaBen at a wedding? One of these smachos is a wedding, but if you reject the entire notion of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, then it's not going to be a problem. So how do we paskin? So Shulchan Aruch and Arachayim Tovkuf Mem Vav Sif Dalit paskins Mutu Lasos Bregel Sudas Bris Mila V'chein Sudas Pidyon HaBen. You're allowed to do a Pidyon HaBen or a Bris on Yom Tov and the on Chol HaMoed, and the Mishnah Berurah and Sif Katan Yud Aleph explains, and it doesn't matter Bein Bizmanan Bein Shelo Bizmanan, even if it's not at the right time. Why? To Lo Chashivi Simcha El Sudas Nisun Ve'erisin Bovad. Mishnah Berurah very clearly quotes only that last answer of Tosfos. We, of course, paskinein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. But a simcha is defined as a wedding with something else. It's got to be a wedding and something else. So in our case, there is a wedding and something else, so l'chor it should be a problem of ein marvin simcha b'simcha. In fact, in Yeridea Simen Shin Hei, which is a simen about Pidyon HaBen, the Rama writes, ein lasos Pidyon HaBen b'chol HaMoed, v'yesh matirin v'chein ikr. Now you shouldn't do a Pidyon HaBen b'chol HaMoed, however some say you can, and v'chein ikr, we paskin that you can. And the Shach in Simchat and Tezvav over there explains that even though we do hold of ein marvin simcha b'simcha, it only applies to weddings. And based on this, based on all this, it seems that Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha applies to a to our case, that we're going to have a problem of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, because we're using the same Su'udah to make both smachos. Now, one might argue, well, wait a second, no, I'm not. The rabbi had a great suggestion. Let's use the Chassan's Tish to make that the Pidyon HaBen Su'udah. That will have nothing to do with the wedding. And then the Su'udah afterwards, after the Chuppah, that will be the wedding Su'udah. So it'll be two separate Su'udahs. Not so pasha that's true. Meaning they were planning on having a chassan's tish before they ever thought of the Pidyon HaBen idea. So when you don't add a special food specifically, or you don't bring out special food specifically for the Pidyon HaBen, it's likely that it's all considered part of the wedding. That's what Rav Shechter told me on Friday, that he thought it would all be considered part of the wedding. You know, mashal ma'ad davar doma, you have a lot of times a shayla comes up. I just got the shayla last week. Couples getting married, and the guy's best friend is getting married 3 days after him, right? So he wants to attend his best friend's wedding. Thing is, he's in the middle of Sheva Brachos. So he's going to be at this wedding with way more than a minyan, plenty of Panim Chadashos that were not at his wedding. Do they require Sheva Brachos for him? Meaning they're going to make Sheva Brachos at the end of the wedding for the Chassan and Kala at the wedding. Do they need Sheva Brachos for him as well? So the post can point out, I think they quote from Shlomo Zalman, I think Rav Shechter also pointed out, no, not unless they bring out some extra food, dafka, for the simcha of this second chasan v'kala, or first chasan v'kala, of the chasan and kala that are guests. If they bring out some extra food for that purpose, they bring out sometimes the caterers, if it's, I remember my wedding, it was like my uncle's birthday or something, so that, it wasn't my uncle's birthday, it was my It was like my parents' anniversary and my sister's birthday, and my wife's birthday was the day before, something like that, on my wedding. So my uncle said, "Oh, we have a special surprise." He got on the microphone. My uncle Zichron Levracha was a party animal. He loved making a big deal about things and making everyone happy. So my uncle Zichron Levracha said, "We have a special surprise. We have a cake," and he had the caterer make a cake for my parents and a cake for the. So that's another cake that's being served dafka for something else other than the wedding. So if there's extra food that's being brought out that's not for the wedding, so then maybe that would be a way to do it. So that's as far as Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Question though is, do you really need a Pidyon HaBen here at all? So Pashtus is that it's at least a Suffek, meaning the halacha is that if the baby already got to a certain stage of development, in the previous pregnancy, the pregnancy that didn't make it, the pregnancy that she lost, if the baby got to a certain stage of development, then the next child is not considered a petarechem, and therefore there would be no requirement to pidyon haben at all. Now, over here we're dealing with a situation of 10 weeks. It wasn't quite through the first trimester, so it's not abundantly clear whether you're in the clear for not needing a pidyon haben. It's at least subject to machloka. So it's a case of suffek pidyon haben. Now, this is we could give a whole nother shiur on this topic. I'll try to not do that right now. Suffek pidyon haben, what do you do? So on the one hand, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa pidyon haben. Suffek d'oraisa l'chumra. On the other hand, what is that mitzvah d'oraisa? The mitzvah d'oraisa is to give money to the kohen, to be poed to the child. A suffek in dine mamanis, a suffek whether you owe money to the kohen, the halacha is hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. So the gra in Yerodea Simon Shinhei makes it very clear that we view pidyon haben as dine mamanis, that by suffek pidyon haben we're always going to be makel. In fact, the Mishnah in the fourth parak of Taros writes suffek becharos echad bechar adam veechad bechar behema hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. And we pass now in Shulchan Aruch Sim Shin Hei Sif Yud Gimel that if it's a suffik about dine mamonos by pidyon haben, hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Rav Shechter paskins that way across the board. Whenever you have a situation of a suffik pidyon haben, he's automatically mekel hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Not all poskim agree to that. Meaning, there are poskim that distinguish between the types of suffik. There are different reasons why you might have a suffik. You might have a suffik whether the baby is a petarechem to begin with, right? Like in our case. Or you might not have a suffix whether the baby's a petarechem, you have a suffix whether about the yichus of the family, whether the father's a levi or the mother's a bas levi or something like that. So not all poskim agree that in all sveikos you're just going to say suffix lukula. According to the Chelkas Yaakov, someone who doesn't know his yichus, if he's a kohen or a levi, is mechuyav liftos es atzmo, and to give the money of the pidyon to the kohen as a matana al manas lahachzir, and it could be that he even has to say a bracha. The Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the Sefer Derech Imuna says that if it's a suffik gomor, whether he's a kohen or a levi, you should be machmir and be poed to himself without a bracha, and that's what Rav Vadi Yosef writes as well. Because there are those that say they have to be poed to lotzei sidei shemaim, so be poed without a bracha. However, in a case where he's a suffik petarechem, that everyone seems to agree that a suffik petarechem, that's the case the Mishnah was talking about, hamotzi mechavera lavaraya, there's no requirement for pidyon haben. So while this Shaila number one started off rough, right? It started off where we were going to say, you cannot do the Pidyon HaBen because it's going to be Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. It ends well because there's probably no Chiyuv of Pidyon HaBen anyway, since it's a Suffolk Pidyon HaBen and it's a Mishnah that in this type of Suffolk Pidyon HaBen, you don't have to do a Pidyon HaBen. Which brings us to Shaila number two. I rushed through Shaila number one, so we'll have a couple of minutes. Shaila number two, can he be Mesader Kiddushin at such a wedding? So Pasuk says, Dvarim Perachav Gimel, Pasuk Beis, Lo Yavo Patsua Dako Kruz Shavcha Bekal Hashem. So you got to try to think of what are the Tzadim Lekula. So maybe you'll say, well, is he really a Patsua Daka? Maybe the surgery is done in such a way that it doesn't make him a Patsua Daka. The Chazanish has a Chiddush in Ebenezer, Simin Yud Beis, El Zayin, that the issue of Patsua Daka is only when the surgery is done outside of the Chalal Haguf. But if the surgery is done, I mean, it has to be in the kiss or in the gid, but if it's in the chalal aguf, it's in the cavity of the man's body, body, then it's not considered to be a Pitzua Daka. We don't have any such luck because it is done outside of the Chalal Aguf, so you can't even rely on the Chaznish. It seems that he's a Pitzua Daka. Oh, you might argue, but it could be reversed. People have vasectomies and then undo the vasectomies with about a 50% success rate in undoing it, but it could be undone. So maybe he's not a Pitzua Daka if it could be undone. There is a discussion in Poskim about that, but the whole discussion is, once it's undone, did he lose the status of Pitzua Daka? But you'd have to go through the surgery. It's unclear whether this man is going to be willing to go through such a surgery. A second Sad Lahakel that one might want to consider is, when did he become a Pitzua Daka? He became a Pitzua Daka before he had converted. When he still wasn't yet Jewish, he had become a Pitzua Daka. So what? What does it matter when he became a Pitzua Daka? So there is a halacha that a Pitzua Daka bidei shamayim is mutar lava bekal. Meaning, let's say a person is born as a Pitzua Daka. It's not that something happened to him, there was no accident, there was no surgery, he was born that way, then he's mutar lava bekal. He's allowed to marry a regular native Jewish woman. This guy had a surgery, but it was when he was not Jewish. So maybe you can say that he was born a Pitzua Daka? Well, how could you say he was born a Pitzua Daka? Because we have a klal, Gershon Iskayer, Kikatan Shana Ladani. He was reborn when he became a ger. So maybe at the time that he was born as a Jew, he's Kikatan Shenolad. So would you say such a thing? There is a Mishnah in the second parak of Zavim. Machon Pua has a beautiful tshuva on this topic, and they have tshuvas on the most fascinating topics. So there's a Mishnah, Masechah Zavim, that says that Haroa Keri, Eino Metame B'Ziv Meisleis, that if a person becomes a Balkeri, then within 24 hours of becoming a Balkeri, he cannot become a Zav. But what if a non-Jew became a Balkeri, and then he converted, and then he saw Ziva? Do you say the same thing? Oh, he's within 24 hours of being a Balkeri, so he's not going to be Metame B'Ziva. So the Mishnah says he is Metame B'Ziva. He is Metame B'Ziva. We ignore the fact that he was Roa Keri, because that happened when he wasn't Jewish. So there's a machlokas Rishonim to understand that. Meaning, do we say, well, look, being a Balkari is a physical thing. It's about the physical mitzvahs. Gershon is Gair Katan Shenolad, that's about a halachic change. That's not a physical issue. It's not that he's literally born again. So that is machlokas Rishonim, whether you say that way or not. It seems to be a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rash. But there are some poskim. There are some poskim that are willing to say that maybe that's considered a patua daka bidei shamayim, not a Pitzua Daka Bidei Adam, and maybe therefore he's able to be Lava Bekal Hashem. It's a big chiddush to say such a thing, but that's what they say. Another thing to consider is, maybe at the time that he became a Pitzua Daka, he wasn't usher to do that surgery, because it's a machlokas in the Gemara, it's a machlokas in the Poskim, whether a guy is Mitzuvan Sirus. So maybe you only become a Pitzua Daka if you became a Pitzua Daka Be'isser, if it was an action that you wouldn't be allowed to do. But maybe if you become a Pitzua Daka Beheter, then you're not going to have a halachic status of Pitzua Daka. That too is a great chiddush. And as a sniff, maybe, but that's a very, very great chiddush. Maybe the two of those things combined is enough to make the person a Suffolk Pitzua Daka. Maybe not. So the Tzad and Lahakel are not that great. I see I'm running out of time, so I'll just give you what the Poskim said. The rabbi said he spoke with Rav Shechter, and he said that Rav Shechter thought that the idea that since this happened when he was technically not Jewish, it's as if it's Min HaShemayim, Rav Shechter said that is quite a Chiddush, which is his way of saying, he does not agree. And then Rav Shechter thought it through a little more, and he said to the rabbi, do you have any ideas? So the rabbi writes, I told him that I thought I just wouldn't tell them, I wouldn't tell anyone, to which he said, okay, I guess that's the best you can do. Welcome to the rabbinate, meaning like a mutav shiyushogigin kind of approach. Rav Shechter would not have allowed a pidyon haben at the wedding if there was a chiyuv of pidyon haben, but he holds that there's no chiyuv of pidyon haben because it's a suffik, right? Which we concluded. He then said he went to Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky and he told the story to Rav Shmuel, and he said after telling him the story, Rav Shmuel said, "So Rabbi, what are you gonna do?" Which is, if you know Rav Shmuel, it's exactly what Rav Shmuel would say. So he said, "So Rabbi, what are you going to do?" So the rabbi said, "I said, well, first I'm going to cry," and then Rav Shmuel said, "Good. And then what are you going to do?" So he said, "I told him that I thought I shouldn't tell the guy and mutav shiyushogin," and Rav Shmuel said, "It should be with hatzlacha." Right, that was he didn't like it was a non psak, an important non psak from Rav Shmuel. It should be with Hatzlacha. He said he also spoke to Hagon Rav Asher Weiss, so three Gedolei Aposkim, three Gaonei Hadar, and Rav Asher Weiss agreed under the circumstances that it's best not to say anything because there's no way the guy's going to leave his wife. The Kiddushin's going to be Chal, so there's no Brach Levatala in being Mesari Kiddushin. The Kiddushin's going to be Chal, it's an Isulo Sase. And he pointed out that, you know, the surgery was done when the guy wasn't Jewish, and Rav Asher Weiss said, yeah, there's Rav Yosef Engel and a Chalkas Yoav that said such a Svara. We don't accept that Svara, but it's at least enough to be Somechan in this case. So it's a very, very difficult case, a very challenging situation, very unfortunate situation, and this is one of these cases where the Halacha is not really the Lamaisa. Because the halacha, we know what the halacha is he's not allowed to get married. But it's not going to be lemaisa, because that's not going to happen. You don't have that option, and therefore it may be best, in the eyes of the three Gedolei Poskim, to just mutav shiyushog and say that better not to say anything, and at least they'll be married rather than not be married and continually violating this iser. Okay, everyone have a wonderful evening, a wonderful Shabbos, and thank you for coming to learn together.
Yeah, thank you.